Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier Tuesday, 4 o'clock happy hour. And I'm happy I've been joined in the studio by Batman. He is Matt Rothschild. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's a friend of ours. Welcome back, man. Welcome here for the very first time.
Hey, Crudy, spanking new digs here. I love them.
I know. We still got the ceiling tiles open where the engineering wires are run.
I can smell the paint still. I'm getting high here.
That ain't paint. Yeah. Matt Rothschild, I mean, I invited you and I'm so glad you said yes. You didn't even what time do you need me? You didn't even say, hey, Crudy. You just assumed a friend in need is a friend in need. And I'm always a friend in need. So thank you for, helping me out this afternoon, joining me on the airwaves. And Batman, want to start here. What I perceive to be the future host city of the RNC 2024, it's got to be Milwaukee, man. It would be the ultimate troll. And isn't that what the Republican Party's all about these days?
Yeah, I heard you talking about that in the last half hour. I'm sure they're dying to come to Milwaukee. And, the irony is, though, Republicans in Wisconsin anyway, for them, the word Milwaukee is a pejorative. For them, the word Milwaukee is a race-baiting noun.
Well, Trump used to come to Waukesha and claim he was in Milwaukee. Do you think that's what they do? They'd go hold a convention at the Waukesha Convention Center and claim they were in Milwaukee?
I don't know. I mean, what a horrible county exec and what a horrible Governor Walker was. We had an opportunity to beat Walker, and you were in on it at the end there in the big protest of 2010, 2011. We needed to knock him out when he was down, and we didn't do that. And as a result—
You're talking about the uprising, recall here in the state of Wisconsin.
When we had 110,000 people around the square, and Walker dropped a bomb, his own words, his own violent imagery, dropped a bomb on the people of Wisconsin.
And that was right around Super Bowl weekend, right about this time in history, about 11 years ago now.
Yeah, I remember it very well. I remember the crowds. It was an exhilarating moment in Wisconsin history to be a protester. There was the occupation of the Capitol, the peaceful occupation of the Capitol. It wasn't a storming of the Capitol. The Capitol doors were open. It's a public building. It's our house. And yet we weren't able to ultimately knock him out because we just did a do-over and we ran the same guy, Tom Barrett, who's now going where? Luxembourg, of all places.
Safe travels, Ambassador.
Yeah, and a lot of people, first of all, he was a terrible candidate the first time against Walker. He was a terrible candidate in the recall against Walker. The idea of putting him up to do the do-over was insane from the Democratic Party.
Nice man, not a great politician.
Not a great politician. I mean, he had a defeatist attitude the first time when he was running against Walker. I remember in one of the debates, he was just like, man, have some caffeine. Have a little energy here. Bring it. And he didn't bring it. And Walker won the first time with his ham sandwich, brown paper bag, spiel and shtick, which was hard to stomach. And then he just shoved it to workers. That's what Walker did and was a willing water boy for the Koch brothers who've rewarded him now with a $1 million-plus job.
Well, here's one thing I will give Scott Walker credit for, sort of grudgingly. He jammed through his agenda, man. And when Republicans garner power, when they have the levers of power, and he had all the levers of power here in the state of Wisconsin, he had the legislative power, he had the executive power, and eventually, they even took over the courts. And effectively, that became a rubber stamp for his, power grab. But Democrats, we get a little power, and we don't know how to use it, man. We don't do anything with power. We don't even... I realize Joe Biden suffers through slim legislative majorities. But come on, man, you could do something with it, couldn't you?
And it was the same thing with Jim Doyle. I mean, when Jim Doyle was governor in 2009, the Democrats had the state Senate and the state assembly, not by huge margins, but they didn't do anything. They could have banned gerrymandering right then and there if they wanted to, and they didn't do that.
It's because they thought they'd get another crack at it. The Democrats thought they would get to gerrymander the maps, didn't they?
Yeah.
And history changed very rapidly. The blowback, the reaction to Obamacare, and as much as it was sort of an astroturf reaction to Obamacare, in retrospect, we look at the last 4 years, it was the racial animus brewing up the response to the first black president, Matt.
Yeah, the racist reaction to the black guy in the White House, I think everybody underestimated. And we're still dealing with it right now. I mean, Trump rode a wave of racism into the White House, and he peddles racism all the time. And there's still this reaction to the Obama administration and the fact that, you know, we had a decent president. Yeah, Obama could have done more, but I thought he was a decent president, really smart guy, and yet didn't do as much as he could have while he was in
there.
Well,
he did not come marching with the unions in
when he said he would. When he was running for president, he said, you know, almost like Tom Joden, Grapes of Wrath, I'll be at every picket line, whatever. I'll get my walking shoes out. That was a direct quote, I think. And yeah, he couldn't find Wisconsin, you know, with a flashlight and GPS when we were trying to take Walker out of the governorship. He was nowhere to be found. And my sources, pretty good sources, I think, told me that actually Joe Biden, when he was vice president, wanted to come here and was told by the chief of staff, you can't go to Wisconsin, you can't go to Madison and support the workers.
Now, Joe Biden did come to Madison in support of Tony Evers' elective campaign, and we broadcast the rally when Joe Biden was here. And Joe Biden did come to Wisconsin and Kenosha specifically during the campaign. So, you know, it wasn't quite like Hillary. And Hillary, all truth be known, Hillary had come to Wisconsin. Hillary just didn't come to Wisconsin after she won the nomination.
Yeah, and let me just give her one more.
We broadcast a couple of Hillary rallies in Wisconsin.
You know, I wasn't a big Hillary fan, but we'll give her one more excuse. And that is her first planned visit to Wisconsin was going to be one of her first visits after getting the nomination. She was going to go to Green Bay, but then I think there was a
mass. With Obama and the Pulse nightclub shooting.
Yeah, there was a mass shooting and she couldn't come.
It was the same week and they thought it was inopportune and politically didn't play well, and, you know, understandably so.
But she never came back. Where was she the last 10 days? You know, she was out in Arizona and Texas, for God's sakes.
Well, they were trying to expand the electoral map. The groundwork for Biden to win Arizona.
Try winning first, then expand the map.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our new world headquarters, headquarters right here on University Avenue. I'm watching a guy trying to cross the street with a bike. Not a good idea. Not at rush hour, early rush hour. Almost got hit in every lane. It was like Frogger. It was kind of entertaining. But I got Matt Rothschild. He's here to entertain you on the radio and help me fill some radio time here this hour. And Matt, I got to tell you, I live for the political cycle. And we're just starting to feel it. I'm starting to feel it. You know, I'm starting to talk to people on the streets, and they're asking me, who do you like? Who do you like in this race? Who do you like in that race? Matt, it's early to tell. And all the predictions are it's going to be a big red wave, much like 2010 was, the same wave that swept Scott Walker in, the same wave that swept Ron Johnson in here in the state of Wisconsin, and the same wave that swept in legislative leadership that was then cast through a gerrymander for the next decade. But Matt, the conditions are a little bit different. And we see the early animus, whether it's critical race theory, I mean, these astroturfed parent movements or whatever the case may be, they're not real. It is being ginned up externally to my opinion, but it is politically expedient and it is engaging of the Republican base. And right now they're fired up. Matt, will that trajectory change? And what do you think the impetus will be? Will it be the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade? Will it be the indictment of Donald Trump? Or, hell, man, is it just going to be a sad red wave this year?
Well, I think it's too early to tell. I mean, the right-wing base is motivated. Let's not forget that. And that's one of the reasons you have Republicans in this state, like Gabelman and Voss, ginning up the right-wing base, still on the bogus junk about the November 2020 election. They're going to try to, you know, flay that dead horse, you know, right through 2022 and 2024 just to keep their rabid base rabid and ready to go out and vote. So we'll see how that goes. The economy's cooking, though. And I think, you know, maybe the Fed is going to put the brakes on it. It's not going to be that good come election time in 2022. But, you know, I think it's still going to be pretty strong, especially with COVID and Omicron, you know, receding rapidly here in Wisconsin. If you've looked at the curve, this thing is just like falling off a cliff, finally, thank God, because, you know, it's been taking a huge toll. 900,000 Americans. Unbelievable.
Matt, obviously, we as liberals, we as science-believing people, we take it more seriously. But Republicans, they've long since, they've, you know, anti-mask, anti-vax, you know, we're going to live with it, and so are you, right? You know, we're done trying to prevent this pandemic or future modifications or, you know, mutations of this pandemic. Republicans have effectively made the decision. This minority has decided for all of us, we're in for it forever. This pandemic's here as long as it needs to be. Man, it seems quite strange to me when you look at the fact we have the highest mortality rates of any developed nation. In one party, effectively, their leadership has been, you know, throw caution to the wind. Go party. Go to the bar. And I don't see how that could possibly lead to a governing majority next year, this year. But of course, right now, that's what the polls say.
Well, but they've been killing their own, too. That's been the really horrible Malthusian mathematics that these guys have been doing on the right. You know, they're killing their own people. The death rate in Republican districts is about three times the death rate in Democratic districts. Maybe they think they're going to, of the Republicans left, you know, they're going to be more motivated than ever. But I just think the whole mask mandate issue is going to fade by November because no one's going to be wearing masks, I hope, knock on wood, by then. And people are going to be worrying about the economy, but if the economy's cooking, you know, Biden's got a decent shot.
Well, the GDP is cooking with gas. Now, inflation rates have spiked, but I would attribute a lot of that to corporate greed, man. Corporations are making big bucks right now.
Yeah, I'm not worrying about them. They're doing just fine.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's easy to blame the president. It's easy to blame inflation. But when you look at corporations making massive mega profits beyond all expectations, you start thinking, well, you know, maybe they're just sticking it to us. Come back, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine guest in studio, and it feels so good. He is Batman, Matt Rothschild. He signed the door and everything.
My generation.
I dare you to keep me out.
I crippled the